When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we get started, we got an exciting CarCast episode for you today, and we've got my buddy Brad Fanshawe calling in. We talk about driving the McLaren 720S and the Acura NSX this weekend, and then we tell you about some new features on Apple CarPlay that are coming out. Before we get started, we want to tell you about Dodge. It's Dodge Performance Days, where we celebrate speed, power, and performance, and that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burnt rubber with Dodge Charger, and it's available best-in-class. Class 485 horsepower. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I am Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. So put Zybar on, take heat off. You can learn more at zycoat.com. All right, we're getting started here with CarCast. And our boy Goldberg is traveling. He was supposed to be on the show today. He got a little bit hung up in the airport. And we made an executive decision in that Goldberg can walk through the airport and call in, and probably you guys can hear all of the traffic in the airport along with security and checkpoints, or we will bring in a guest host. And Goldberg said, hey, let's not introduce you to all that noise like we normally do. So we got our guest host. We got our friend Brad Fanshawe. Brad is my co-host on Shift and Steer. He's a car guy. He's a wheel guy. He's a hot rod guy. If you haven't listened to Shift and Steer, check it out. And welcome, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for... Are you sure it wasn't that Goldberg just wanted somebody that was kind of the same physical stature as himself?
Sure. Goldberg eats more food than you weigh every day.
You're probably right.
I'll tell you this about Goldberg is he's busy, he's on planes, he's flying around, and never once has he said, I can't do the show. He's always said, I'll try to do it. Let me call in. I'm going to do this. And it's usually me that says, don't worry about it. Don't kill yourself trying to do it. He's been in and he's dedicated on this show. And I appreciate that. Hopefully you guys do as well. But it's not a big paying gig if it pays at all. And he is dedicated to doing all these shows. But So this is what we've got. We've got a few things going on. Brad and I spent a beautiful romantic weekend at the Ritz-Carlton in Linlithgow. And there was some spooning and some wonderful meals and some cars. We'll skip the meals and spooning and we'll tell you guys about the cars.
Well, we were spooning with the cars. I don't know about you, but I was just having a little bit of horsepower action with that car I was driving.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. But before we get into that, I found some news that came up. Being the nerd that we are about cars and technology, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference in San Jose was a couple days ago, as you're hearing this, and they announced a big upgrade to Apple CarPlay. Since CarPlay debuted in maybe 2014, I've liked it. But one of my big complaints has always been no split screen view. It's interesting because I think now is like the big Dodge Ram with the giant screen in it does do like a split screen. It doesn't split CarPlay. It puts CarPlay on the bottom half of the screen or the top half or whatever, and it puts like your radio and stuff on the top. on the other side. And I noticed recently, I don't know if you noticed this, Brad, but the new Range Rovers, Land Rovers with the multiple screens in them, I was getting CarPlay on the top screen, and the bottom screen that has the controls for the car for the settings and climate control, you can put the radio down there. You can put like Sirius XM, AM, FM, whatever. So you can play that and have your CarPlay up on top. However, Apple is saying that they have announced some upgrades to CarPlay, and it will include, I don't want to say split screen, but for lack of a better term, it is split screen. They are doing a multi-view display. So now CarPlay will put like the map on the left side, and on the right side, it'll put other things like text messages and phone calls and whatever. So it's more better than the split screen.
I mean, you're right, Matt, because very seriously, when you're going down the road and you're trying to keep your eyes on the road and, you've got a map that you're following, but then a call comes in and you want to glance over and see if it's something you got to answer or not, you're taking eyes off the road to touch that screen and flip it back and forth. So a multi-view is great.
Now, the other thing that it does is when you want to use Siri to say send a text message or a call, right now, like you hit the button, it kind of wipes off the screen. It goes to a Siri thing and it tells you, it's like, what do you want to say? Now it'll kind of do Siri like behind the scenes. So it won't remove like your map and radio stuff. That's at least that's what I'm being told. So Siri's kind of.
And will she get your text right when you say it? It won't say something half obscene when all you said was, hey, I'll be there a little late.
It's interesting you say that, is because I listen carefully to what she says on the playback, and I often say change. And as much as I would love to see it written on the screen when I say it, but the whole point is that you don't look at the screen. But
exactly.
Yeah, there's so many times I'm using a CarPlay and I'm talking to Siri for a text message, and I send it to a friend, and somebody writes back, you must be in the car using CarPlay. And I'm like,
exactly.
Why? And she's like, because nothing you just said makes any sense at all. So the other upgrade is a pretty significant upgrade in Apple Maps. There is a collections feature, which can be used to share destination, and there's favorites for places that are frequently visited, and there's a look around feature, as they're calling it, that allows you to use 3D photography to show realistic street views. And the new maps will be available the end of 2019, and the new version of CarPlay will be available when iOS 13 is updated in the fall. So as part of the Worldwide Developer Conference, they announced a new operating system, iOS 13, and that update is in the fall, and it'll include this. So you don't have to do anything to your car, obviously. It's all done on your phone. And then Apple said something like, to get maps like better and more accurate, they did something like 4 million miles of driving with all of their developers and testing.
That's all.
And that was on Sunday. They did that last Sunday.
Yeah. No wonder it was so busy everywhere I went.
Right? So 90% of new cars, I feel like I'm doing the Continental ad with the belts, but 90% of new cars sold in the U.S. have CarPlay. And that is an unconfirmed fact.
it is one of the most reliable of the ones that are out there. I mean, when we jump in these cars to drive them, you can usually kind of rely on CarPlay. And then because it's in so many different platforms, it makes it familiar and easier to use.
Well, so that's the big point right there, Brad, is CarPlay allows you to go from car to car, especially like what we do, and bring CarPlay with you, and it's the same all the time. So we can jump in, the Jaguar, the Land Rover, the Cadillac or whatever, and basically bring CarPlay with you. we touched on a little bit a week or so ago on this show and Shift and Steer about I went to the new to the Lexus RX debut. That's their midsize SUV. It's their best selling vehicle of the entire Lexus lineup, and one of the big new features. Cosmetically, the car is essentially the same, but one of the big new features was a better integration of CarPlay. And the RX has like a standard, I think, 8.3-inch screen or 8.2-inch, and then it has an optional 12.3, I think, screen. So I posted a couple pictures on social media, and some of you guys had commented saying, well, it's got the big iPad-type screen tacked on the dash that's kind of goofy-looking. I agree. But that is the optional screen, so you can get the 8-inch and the 12-inch or just the 8-inch.
Have you noticed, though, that with all these new screens in the cars and everything, that as you're driving down the freeway at night or down any road at night, it always looks like everybody has their dome light on now?
Yes.
I mean, everybody's interior cab used to be dark and black, and now it's like lit up, and it's this very sinister, like blue glow or something like that.
It makes filming the driver at night easier.
Oh, much easier, yes. There's probably an app that you can load in there for just that specific reason.
Yeah, like a flashlight app for your face for photographers.
Exactly.
So, anyway, interesting stuff on updates on Apple CarPlay. So I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the big, you know, I like CarPlay, but having a multi-view screen or a split screen I think would make a huge difference. But the thing is I think it only splits between multiple apps within CarPlay. Where you're going to get hung up is if you're listening to the radio or like Sirius XM and then you want to use CarPlay stuff, you still have to switch the entire screen over to CarPlay. Unless you're in the car, like I said, like the Range Rover that has multiple screens, you know, or the Dodge or the Ram has multiple screens. So I guess we'll see how that works. I don't know. Maybe CarPlay will allow you to display the vehicle's audio system next to a CarPlay map. That would be badass if it did, because, you know, the press cars that we get almost always have a subscription to Sirius XM. So I like listening to some music and some talk and some stuff like that without a lot of the commercials. But every time I get a text message or make a call, it moves that screen away.
Right.
You know, so it'd be nice to have access to both of those at the same time. And some of these higher end cars, I guess a lot of the cars are getting a little crafty. Like you have your steering wheel controls and then you have your gauges, and maybe like to the left of your gauges is your trip and your, you know, and then you can scroll through the different menu for different things. And oftentimes they'll put like the radio display in there as well. So
You can even find that on a lot of these in the heads-up display. So it's right in front of your face. You can flip amongst all those different things.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get like your presets in there. Not many of them do presets. Oh, and to the point on the Lexus was, Brad, you've driven the Lexus quite a bit as well. And Lexus has like the trackpad for your finger, and it moves
right. The
cursor on the screen. So what's your feeling on that? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
After I drove it a while, I liked it a little bit better. But, I can take it or leave it. I like to have something a little more visceral, a little more, you know, where I can, like, if I'm looking down, down on the center console, I'm taking my eyes off the road. If there's a switch I can just feel for and switch each screen or something like that, I feel a little more comfortable, you know?
Right. I agree with you. I started to get used to it, but it takes a few days, and I never really know where the cursor is kind of going. And it seems like I put my finger on it, and sometimes my finger slides as I remove it, and it moves the cursor away. So Lexus's thought on this is, why have just one way to control it? So the new RX is going to be the first car in their lineup where it has the trackpad, but it also now has a touchscreen, and it has voice control. So if you're, and I like that because sometimes you're, I don't know, you're thinking about something or you want to click a button real quick and you're used to CarPlay as a touchscreen. You don't want to use the trackpad for it. Now you can just touch the screen. But on the Lexus before, it wouldn't do anything. It didn't have a touchscreen.
Yeah, and when you're getting used to it, that trackpad's kind of like when you have a wireless mouse that the battery's going dead on and you can find the cursor sometimes and other times it's disappeared. It just doesn't work as well.
It doesn't work all the time.
I'm waiting for that heads-up display to have my movies and my email on there. Is that going to be a problem, you think?
Yeah, well, it's on your heads-up display, it's gonna show you the 24-hour war documentary while you're driving.
Exactly.
Just watch racing documentaries while you're driving and see how you do. All right, before we get into more stuff, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Dodge. There's no better time to celebrate speed, power, and performance than during Dodge Performance Days. So hurry in and replace that new car smell with the smell of burnt rubber. Very well done.
Very well done. Yeah, the smell of burnt rubber. Is that a new car scent for Dodge?
It pretty much is, especially if you're Goldberg. By the way, if you guys didn't get a chance to go back and listen or to watch the Hoonigan video where Goldberg took delivery of his carbon fiber Hellcat, his Speedcore car, he took it out there and they brought another car. They brought like a Whipple supercharged Demon. And they're like, do some burnouts, Goldberg, do some burnouts. And he did it like three times. And they're like, there's still some tire left on this car. And he's like, all right, it's not my car. And he just tore it up. So he had a great time doing that. And it was fun to see that. It's a good video. I don't know. It's got to be 10 minutes long.
He gets to have all the fun.
I swear he does. He's he went on vacation, I think, this weekend. That's why he got held up flying back. And then he's going to turn around and go to Saudi Arabia, I believe, and fight The Undertaker. I know that was supposed to be you, Brad, but you got replaced by Goldberg.
I know. They said I wasn't toned up enough, so that's the problem.
We'll see if The Undertaker...
I've tried eating as much as he does, and all I do is get fat.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. He doesn't really eat donuts like you do.
Yeah. Well, he does them. He does donuts.
He does, quite a bit. So we took the cars out. We had the McLaren 720S. You drove it for a bit while I was driving the Acura. And then working with Acura and McLaren, we swapped. So you were driving the Acura this week in the NSX, and then I was driving the McLaren. And we have some thoughts on it. We definitely have some thoughts on it. Excuse me. The Acura is about the easiest supercar, if you will, to drive out there. And it's incredibly fast. It's 0 to 60 in 2.9. The McLaren 720S is 0 to 60 in 2.7. And it really couldn't be any more different than the Acura. Certainly the McLaren feels much more supercar-ish and much more visceral. And honestly, a little bit more of a chore to drive. Fantastic, but a little bit more work.
Now, it's more of a race car on the street.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, this isn't a side-by-side comparison.
No.
An Acura would compare to a 570 McLaren, not a 720. The 720 is in their series, not their sports car series.
Yeah, because it's comparative to like we've talked about before, that the 570, the 911 Turbo, and the Audi R8 V10.
Yeah.
We're not trying to say that we're comparing them. It was just we were damn lucky to have them both at the same time.
Yes. Aztec Gold and Dave Merrick Orange. There's a real name for it, but it's like Orange Pearl something or other. I don't know. The Spider is fantastic. To get into the McLaren, so the McLaren, and I believe we touched on this on one of the other shows, but the McLaren is 710 horsepower at 7,500 RPM, and it's 568 pound-feet of torque at 5,500. Similar to the Acura, it has a 7-speed dual clutch. I think the Acura is 7-speed, but it's a real dual clutch with a manual shifting mode. Now, the McLaren is like 3,250 pounds. It's still fairly lightweight for, for a car like that, that's, convertible as well. And
yeah, I was going to say, when you consider it's a spider and it has all that mechanism in the glass roof and everything.
Yes, and I mentioned this last week with Adam on the show, is the convertible top on this is not hydraulic. It is all electric. So when you go and buy yourself a used McLaren in a few years from now, no leaky hoses. It's going to be great for the aftermarket world, for the resale world.
Exactly.
It is all electronic, and that stuff is getting better and more reliable. Now, the convertible adds about 100 to 108 pounds or something over the coupe, but there is no sacrifice in performance. They say all the performance is the same, the horsepower is the same, but maybe they're calibrating the tune. I would love to see a side-by-side dyno test between a 720S Spider and a 720S Coupe and see if there's any difference. But both cars are 0 to 60 in 2.7. I think the top speed for both is like 212.
212 on the McLaren and like 191 on the NSX.
On the NSX. The McLaren will do 200 with the top down.
Yes.
And then this part I love. Being an old school drag racing fan like you are, Brad, the McLaren 720S will do the quarter mile in 10.3.
Exactly, which is damn fast.
I mean, I think you're probably like a good day of weather, good traction, and an aftermarket exhaust, and you have a 9-second car.
Which is crazy, because you're right. Back when I did like street racing and bracket racing and pro gas and stuff, 9-second cars were like hard to come by. Now here's a car you just go buy and drive on the street with, and it could be capable of a 9-second quarter possibly. That's incredible.
What would cost you less to build a 9-second muscle car or $411,000 for a fully loaded 720S?
Well, that's one of those. You know, it's like today the technology has gone up all the way around. So 9-second cars are, you know, these LS motors are, you know, pretty incredible now. So it's definitely, you could build the muscle car a lot cheaper than 411,000.
Yeah, you could do it a lot cheaper. You could do it a lot cheaper.
But, you know, it wouldn't drive anywhere near down the street as easily, because, you know, it's something you're going to be trailing around and things like that more or less.
Yeah, you could do it for 40 grand.
Yes, easily. So it's a tenth big, of the car.
Yeah, big motor, some decent suspension, a big old shot of nitrous. Yeah.
Matt and I did, just to test it, was we put a big shot nitrous kit on the 720S to see what it would do.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell them that.
Right, yeah. Brad sat in the passenger seat with a sneaky Pete, like he was like an old man on it with an oxygen tank in his mouth. So it was interesting to get the two cars out there and to photograph them together, and we'll post a bunch of those photographs. I've got some more thoughts on the 720, but we're gonna do.
Some of the things that car does right, and it does almost everything right.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about that it doesn't sacrifice with the Spider. You know,
The coupe and the Spider.
You pull it into a parking lot, and sometimes those type of cars, you'll get that kind of creaking noise as you pull in. That one doesn't. It's that monocoque chassis that it has. It's just rigid wherever it goes. And then, of course, the exhaust. When you put it in like the track mode, the exhaust is just incredible when you shift it. And a couple of the cool little things is that folding driver's display that pod that rotates within the dash and gives you a minimized display of mile per hour, tack, just what you need to know when you're, you know, in that track mode. And then, of course, the electrochromic roof that you pointed out, that with one button, it just hints right away.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat feature. So what you're talking about is the gauge cluster in front of you. When you put it in track mode, it folds down and just shows you the minimum stuff and clears your view a little bit more. So on the convertible top is a convertible hard top. It's carbon fiber and it's electric powered, but you can get an optional panoramic glass roof. But the glass roof has an electrochromatic like tint on it. It's very high tech, very futuristic. You hit a button and it goes opaque, and you hit it again and it fades to, you know, it fades away and it goes to a clear. But let's say that feature, if you had to guess, what do you think that cost? Not the, for the electric chromatic roof.
Just for that?
Yeah.
You know, just because it's such a unique toy, and because it's one of those, you know, pointed out to your friend options, it's probably $10,000 or $12,000.
Yeah, it's about $10,000. It's about $10,000, and it's funny because every time I was playing with it, it's because I was showing somebody, and then it did get a little cloudy. I was like, well, I've got this feature, so let me turn it off and get a clear skies. And it's like, it's cool. I mean, do you use it? I don't know if you use it, but it's kind of badass. Yeah, it's kind of badass.
It looks cool, but yeah, it's one of those when you've got the money and you're like, yeah, throw it in. You know, what's another
thing? Well, here's the thing, is the car starts at like $319 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts like $315, and then the luxury package version starts at $327, and then the one we drove had enough options on it that it still was $411,000. You're spending that much money, you're like, do I need a $10,000 glass roof or not? You're like, you're already $400 and change into it. Like, just go all the way. Right? Or
yeah,
get the base model.
Not?
Or get the base model and save $100,000. But I don't think there's a lot of like, do I get the $375 version or the $410 version? Like, I think you're already kind of committed, you know?
You think? I mean, at that point, you don't want to pull in somewhere and have them go, he has a 720S, and he didn't even get the electrochromic roof.
Yeah,
can
right?
Can you believe that?
Jeez, this guy, he got the cheap one.
Exactly.
I want to talk more about both of the cars, but before we do, I'm going to tell you more about Continental Belts. If you guys think about all the weird things that you find in cars, things like French fries, melted crayons, maybe things like live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that really makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. The Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the longest name possible. I mean, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. I just got a dirty look from Chris.
I wonder why.
It's a... anyway, all right. So, moving on. The McLaren... I keep saying McLaren. I think it's McLaren. McLaren. It's
McLaren.
I didn't love the Aztec Gold. It's kind of a yellowy. It looks good sometimes in the sunlight. And then this past weekend was the HRE Wheels open house event. And then I realized like all these supercars rolled into the hotel at one point. They were all at like Mastro's for dinner. And I was like, oh, then I went on Instagram and saw pictures from the HRE open house. And all these cars were coming back from that event. They were all stopping. So somebody rolled up to the hotel, to the Ritz-Carlton, and parked a blue McLaren. I don't know, maybe it was a 570 or something. And then the 720S was parked next to it. The 720S is badass. You can see it's the bigger brother of those cars. But then you're like, man, that blue is so good. And then you start to regret the yellow.
You see, I've got to say, I shared this with you before, I'm not a fan of old cars, even though I've owned a couple muscle cars that were old. But that car, I just think it really accentuated the lines. It looked incredible. And it said to me that, man, this car is, you know, out there to make a statement, and it looked fast. I mean, you know, it's going for the gold when you're racing. Why not have gold?
Okay, I'm with you. It looks good. Picture it in your head. Picture the Aztec Gold 720S and now picture it in any other color.
Well, you know what? I did see it in red.
Yeah.
Didn't like it as much in red.
It's got to be the right red. It's got to be the right red. A straight up red's not going to do it. It needs to be a little bit darker, sort of metallic red. The metallic needs to be in there because there's like the concave kind of vent in the door that you, which you don't normally see because a lot of cars are like changing the color. They make it black to accentuate that. With this car, you need the metallic to show the curves because a good metallic comes out almost a bright silver, bright white when the sun is on it in that hot spot, and then the color sort of bleeds off of it. So you need a good blue metallic, a red metallic, even silver would be kind of cool.
Don't get me wrong, Matt. I didn't say that when I buy my McLaren 720S that I was going to order it in Aztec Gold. I just said I enjoyed it on the press car.
Well,
and especially for photography.
I was going to say, it looks good on camera.
Oh, it looks great on camera. And you're absolutely right. The metallic, because that car does have all kinds of sexy curves to it and vents. And, from the back, it has that beautiful cover over the motor and the carbon fiber. So, it really does show itself off well.
Fun fact, the 720S has a built-in pizza oven.
Yes, we found it, didn't we?
It's really kind of weird. Is on the bottom of the door, so it's got a scissor door. You open up the door, and on the bottom of it, like the sill of the door, there's two buttons, and it opens the tonneau cover, and there's a place to put like a briefcase. Like flat, you could fit it, like can't be very thick. It's a briefcase. And Brad and I opened it up and we're like, it's a pizza warmer? Like it's a pizza oven. Like you just put a pizza in there, Domino's delivers it in your McLaren, and it stays warm. And that's about all you can fit underneath that tonneau cover. And it just looked straight up like it was even like kind of cut out for like a pizza box.
Yeah, I thought it was for tolls. So that when George the dog goes for a ride, I just get the towels out and cover the seat with it, right?
Yeah, well, certainly need to do that. Certainly need to do that. Fantastic car, great power, great sound. This one had the front axle lift on it, which is great. So a little bit easier to get over the speed bumps and stuff. And when you really get up on the details of the 720, that front headlight that you can see in all the photos, it's kind of blacked out. And it's got just a strip of clear lens where the light is. When you get up on it, that's a floating bar in that area, that blacked out area. And the headlight is a floating bar. And the top and the bottom are cut out, and it goes to intercoolers in there. So it looks like a funky kind of squinty eye headlight, but when you get up on the car, you'll see it's all vented. The air goes through the whole thing. It's just a little detail that sometimes is often missed. Even across the parking lot, you can walk up on the car and you don't really notice it because it's all kind of blacked out, but you could stick your hands in there. You can stick your hand on the top and the bottom of that light and go right into the intercooler. I wouldn't recommend it, especially while driving, but you can do
it. Exactly. While it's running.
I fit my roller bag and a backpack in the frunk. And that front storage, it's a pretty deep storage space.
It's
and
deep.
I got a small roller bag and a backpack, and I got them both to fit in there. So surprisingly, is it a getaway, like a weekend getaway car? Sure, for one person. somebody else has to
meet you there. Yeah. What do you mean? And then you race there.
Yeah. Which is interesting because you guys saw the pictures that I posted of the Acura with the trunk, with the jack, with the floor jack instead of the golf clubs, the floor jack and the jack stand in the back. And it's almost as much room. It's not as long, but the McLaren's probably a deeper hole for storage. It's pretty interesting, but
it's not as wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, this is one of those first world problems, but because I had a week with the McLaren and a week with the NSX, I kept going to the wrong end of the car on both of them because you get used to going to put something, like a camera bag or your gear or whatever in the front of the McLaren. And then you go to the NSX, you go to the front and you open it and it's just, it's an electric motor. And you go, oh, that's right. I got to go to the back for this one. That's one of those problems most people don't have that we encounter, Matt.
And what are your thoughts now on the NSX? I mean, obviously there's a discussion about price, like how much do you pay, but there's factory incentives and you can get the NSX for, I don't know, 130 grand or something right now. And that's before you even negotiate. You can probably do even better than that if you wanted to. So it's not really a comparison. But overall, what are your thoughts on the NSX?
My feeling on the NSX after driving it is that is a car I would want to own and be able to drive. I mean, actually, you know, where the McLaren, you would think, oh, I'm not going to drive that every day to work or to the office or whatever. But that, if you're a professional and you had a nice parking garage or a nice office where you could park it, you could literally drive that car to work every day in a climate like ours and enjoy it. The car is so easy to drive. It's fast when you want it to be. Put it in comfort mode. It shifts itself. It does everything. It has a nice sound system in it. And when you want to put it in Sport Plus or track mode, it gets grumbly, it gets mean, and it's fast. And it goes where you point it. And the other thing is, too, is that nothing against McLaren, but out here in Southern California, McLarens are seen quite often. And in a jaded area like we live in, where supercars are seen on the street every day, that car got a ton of attention, one, because of the color, but two, because of the fact that you just don't see them. Guys that are enthusiasts would continually walk up and say, oh, is that the Acura NSX? And they'd want to know all about it. They'd go, I've never seen one in person. And that's something you never hear out here.
That's a good point. I saw maybe a half a dozen Ferraris and four McLarens this weekend and only one NSX, and that's when you pulled up.
Exactly.
The NSX, to me, is not the easiest to get in and out of. You have to swing the door open pretty far.
Yeah. Otherwise, you kick the speaker in the door.
Yeah. So that was kind of the one of things. There's no front axle lift, which I felt the ride height was okay, but obviously anything some adjustability there's a benefit to it, especially when you're concerned with the expensive car. So here's a question for you. An NSX is meant to compete with a Porsche 911 Turbo. They're similar in price when you go by MSRP, but the reality is you could get an NSX for significantly less money than a turbo. So a fair comparison would be, let's say, a Porsche 911 GTS. Would you take a 911 GTS or a GTS Targa, which is kind of nice, with center lock wheels and a 7-speed manual, which is awesome.
You're adding options.
Or a nicely equipped NSX. Let's say NSX with carbon ceramic brakes.
I would probably take the NSX because I'm a guy who likes exclusivity.
Yeah.
And you know how many Porsches that you see. They're to the point of where, you don't even see them anymore because there are so many of them that they're just, yeah, okay, they're great. And I know they drive well and I know they're fun. But if I wanted something that, if I pulled in somewhere and people were going to go, wow, what is that? That'd be the car to have. Plus, after driving it, like I said, I really think it is and that's a good comparison, Matt, because a 911 is the car that a lot of professionals buy as their daily driver mm-hmm. because they want something sporty. So why not have something like the NSX that looks more supercar-ish, in my opinion?
You know, I was thinking about that quite a bit as well, and I was like, you know what? They sold, 107 or something last year, and there is something mm-hmm. special about it. And, I mean, you can argue one's going to be worth more, one's going to be worth less, but I'm talking about a Porsche 911 GTS versus an NSX. Both of those are probably going to drop in value equally. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not worried about the depreciation of it or anything. As a matter of fact, collectability comes from cars that are exclusive and they're amazing. And on some level, collectability comes from cars that are essentially failures. And the NSX by no means is a failure. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing as a halo car for the brand. But obviously, everyone at Acura would be like, "Yeah, we'd love to sell a lot more of these things." And there are some cars out there. You're like, "This is a cool car. It never really caught on well. They only sold a few of them." And fast forward 30 years, you're like, "It's getting all the money at Barrett Jackson, right? Because it's super rare. Not because they only made 10. It's because nobody wanted them at the time." And so maybe the NSX falls in that category. But listen, you're right. As far as like, especially like the LA crowd of people that want a sports car as a daily driver, going to their law firms and production companies and stuff, and they lease them, go lease an NSX, man.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, if I had a job.
Well, and to your point of collectability, you know, the NSX, the original ones, are going up in value, and the fixed headlight cars are now up around 150, headed towards 200. Mm-hmm. You know, those last couple of years that they made them, and they made very few of the fixed headlight cars where the headlights didn't pop up. And those are headed towards 200 grand. So, you know, get it totally optioned out, get it in a rare color that's desirable, and you could enjoy it for years, and then maybe, you know, have something that's collectible as part of your portfolio of cars.
Yeah, I agree. I like the car. And if you've got more money and you don't want three NSXs, you can get a McLaren 720S. Here's my question on the Acura. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you do. Maybe it's a question for, you know, for our buddy Dave Merrick or one of the engineers over there. But the NSX is a V6 turbo car, and it uses two electric motors on the front.
Yes.
What happens, how does it work if we want to modify the car? If we tune the engine a little bit, or, you know, put a couple K&N filters in it, or put an exhaust system on it to get a little more noise and it picks up a little power. How does modifying the gas engine work in relation to the electric motors? When you put it in launch control and it uses all the motors and everything, which is fun, by the way, if you haven't done it.
It is.
How does it work? What happens to the electric motors? Do you overdrive the electric motors? If you add more power to the gas engine and you're doing like a launch control or something, are you overdriving? Are you pushing the electric motors? Like, I'm curious what it's doing, or does the car know, or does it mechanically via gearbox and stuff, does it somehow compensate? I don't know, but I'm curious.
Interesting question, yeah.
I'm curious, can you modify... By the way, can you modify an NSX or any of the electric hybrid supercars? Can you modify a LaFerrari? Can you modify a P1? Can you modify the Porsche with the 918? Or I'm just curious how that stuff works. I mean,
well, you're right, because just very small subtleties can throw the computer off. So everything has to be changed in like a daisy chain or like dominoes, because you change one thing, if the sniffers in the exhaust are getting a different input from a new exhaust, you know, it's going to throw off the O2 sensors in the computer, and, you know, everything's going to, you know, start changing. So that's a good question. And you're right. That'd be something we'd have to ask, like, the Acura engineers. And we should. We should bring it up and ask them.
Listen, I'd be curious to know. Somehow, it. I'm sure there's a way for it to compensate. For starters, you go fill up the NSX at the gas station, and you look in there, it says 93 octanes recommended, 91 is mandatory minimum. So I'm sure that car changes its horsepower, changes its performance just based on the grade of the fuel, which means it can do something. There's probably a way to tune, you know, like maybe putting an exhaust on the car, it treats it like you're running it on 93 octane. Compared, you know, because we got shitty 91 octane out here. You know,
yeah.
So maybe there's a way it does something. You know, I think Graham Rahal's company, Graham Rahal Performance, is working on like an exhaust kit and stuff on his NSX. So I'm curious to see. He's got plenty of money, so if he breaks his, I'm not worried about it. He should break his first so the rest of us can get a report back.
Then we can benefit from
it. He's going to be like,
call it R&D.
Have him call in and go, modifying the motor was a bad idea. I've got an NSX parts car. All right, before we get things wrapped up, I've got a few things to tell you. First of all, Zycoat, heat is the enemy of speed. And Zybar, a revolutionary high-temp coating, dissipates heat and increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhausts, turbos, and intakes. Zybar coats the metal surface and doesn't allow it to absorb heat. On uncoated stock components, the hot exhaust gas heats up the metal and increases back pressure in the exhaust system, causing the reduced engine performance. Zybar increases horsepower and torque and reduces the metal surface and under hood temperatures. Overall, the car is breathing better, it's doing better, and the velocity of the gas is going through the exhaust system. When you keep that heat in there, is better. So for your listeners who aren't do-it-yourselfers, you can visit Zycoat.com and click on coating services, and Zycart will coat your parts for you. So now if you don't have a sandblaster or something, you just go to Zycoat.com, you fill out the order form, and you can just mail in your parts, and something like 2 weeks, you mail it back, it's done. Actually, we just used the stuff. I'm going to post you guys a picture. On the Porsche 935, we took the original brake ducts off the backing plates, and we had some Zybar sample kits out there. So we're like, well, we kind of like this kind of this bronze metallic that they have. It was actually a similar color to the 935. So we shot it, and it looks pretty good. Pretty good coating. Anyway, so that's so your thoughts on the Acura is you'd like an Acura over the Porsche. There's a little bit more exclusivity. It's a fun car to drive. And now that you went the opposite direction. I drove the Acura, then went to the McLaren, and you went to the McLaren and then to the Acura. Do you feel slow? Do you feel underwhelmed?
You know what? I had a week in between in the Jaguar I-Pace.
So in the I-Pace.
It kind of calmed the waters in between.
Yeah. Okay. I went I swapped out the McLaren, and I've got a Range Rover, full-size Range Rover SV autobiography. It's the big daddy of Range Rovers. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Well, it's got a long enough name, so it's got to be the big daddy.
I can't wait to show you the photos of this thing. And you guys recall that I had the Range Rover Sport, a plug-in hybrid, and it might have been a pre-production version. I can't say for sure. The one I have now is red. It's a metallic-y dark red. It's the same one as the plug-in hybrid Sport. I had some issues with the plug-in hybrid Sport. It wasn't the plug-in portion of it because I wasn't going to plug it in anyway. The issues were I just had so many bugs with the whole infotainment system, and I had to restart the car several times, and even CarPlay was crashing because it wasn't showing up on the screen up there. And again, I don't want to pick on them too much and say that's the way they are. I know they sort of have a reputation for that. But the new SV autobiography that I'm driving, same infotainment system, and so far, no problems. It's been working fine. So I'll report back to you on that. But this thing is, 550 horsepower, full-size Range Rover. Red and black interior, diamond stitch. I'm going to show you the captain's chairs in the back. The armrest between the captain's chairs in the back is power. It folds down. And then there's another power button, and a carbon fiber like sleeve opens up, and your cup holders are hidden inside. It is trick, but it's funny because it's not very fast, the power movement, like for the cup holders. I'm sitting there holding the button going, I'm waiting for it. But it's some cool stuff. I can't wait to show you guys that.
This sounds like a road trip to Vegas type of vehicle.
It really does, because by the time you get there, the cup holders are open. But
exactly.
It's
big,
you'll
have your drink all finished, and you'll have a place to put the empty cup.
It's a lot of fun for sure. Guys, definitely check out Shift and Steer. That's the podcast that Brad and I do together with our little buddy, Aaron Hagar, the giggler, Aaron Hagar. It's a fun show. It's casual. It's relaxed. If you guys haven't tuned into that, we have some fun over that show. And of course, before we go, I'll tell you a bit about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off a dry cleaning, pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com. All right, you can follow me. I'm at Motorator on all the social medias, and we'll be back with Goldberg, and he's going to be heading out for his big wrestling match, so hopefully he comes back in one piece and feeling good. But follow him at Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Check out the Hoonigan video, some cool projects that he's got going on over there as well. And Brad, thanks for calling in. Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, find me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. And you can also find a lot of these cars we're talking about at Photos by Fanshaw on Instagram.
Excellent. And of course, our website is CarCast Show. And then, by the way, all these photos, we're posting galleries up on the Shift and Steer website. So go to shiftandsteer.com and you can check that out. That's it. I'm done. You got anything else, Brad?
No, that's it, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for filling in for Bill. Until next time, keep the air in the spare, in the bag, and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.